What is happening, full-time hustle? Gosh, okay, so Christina Barnum on the podcast today.
Yes, she is. I love her so much.
She is going to be incredible.
She has the best personality.
She does.
And she's an amazing businesswoman, and she has twins, which, I mean, that just...
That qualifies her for a lot of things by itself. We're going to love this. How do you know Christina?
I actually don't remember how we met, but we're both photographers in the same area, and I send people her way all the time, and she sends people my way.
Do me a favor. If you're listening to this today, and you're not a photographer, or you're not in the creative industry or wedding industry or whatever, please don't stop listening. There's a lot of really, really, really good, helpful things in the podcast for everybody today, not just photographers. We know this is going to be really awesome. You're listening to the Full-Time Hustle Podcast, an audio resource about life and business. Geared towards the creative entrepreneur, Full-Time Hustle is all about sharing time-tested methods and tips about everything small business related. From sales and marketing, all the way to accounting and client interaction, Full-Time Hustle covers everything you want to know about how to get things done. Turn your side hustle into a full-time hustle. For more resources, visit us online at fulltimehustle.net. Today's episode is brought to you in part by 17 Hats. 17 Hats is the premier online-based small business management software that does everything from invoicing to books to even keeping track of your contracts. Do what you do best and let 17 Hats do the rest. To get 10% off your first subscription, visit 17hats.com/card/full-time-hustle. That's 17hats.com/card/full-time-hustle for a free 17-day trial and 10% off your first subscription. Or simply apply the coupon full-time-hustle in your account settings. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, everybody. Welcome Christina Barnum to the show. What's up?
Hi.
You're pretty excited to be here?
I'm so excited and so nervous.
Well, don't be nervous. Okay. This is super easy and super fun. And
all right.
Everybody's going to love to hear from you. I mean, we definitely got you because we know you have got a lot of gold nuggets to share, and that's what we're all about. So we're just going to jump right in. So tell me just a little bit about, you know, who you are and your business. How long have you... been a bit, and just okay, so just so everybody knows, Christina Barnum is a photographer and she owns Christina Barnum Photography.
Yeah.
And that's been happening for how long?
I started photography after my kids were born, so 6 years, but the business side of things has been about 4 years.
Very cool. What got you into photography?
My babies. So we actually purchased a DSLR before we had our kids. And then after we moved to Texas, I didn't have any friends. I had two new newborns. I felt like I didn't have purpose. I was bored and I just needed a creative outlet. So I dusted off the camera that we'd purchased the year before and I started taking pictures of my babies, and then people caught on, and it's crazy how everything happened.
Do you remember your first client?
I do. Yeah. She was actually one of the first people that I started talking to in our new area, and she saw pictures of my kids online. She was like, you know, I'm pregnant. Can you take some maternity photos? And I love her, and she's beautiful in all of them, but boy, if you could see the editing I had on those bad boys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just like vignette.
Oh, like. Terrible selective color.
Yep.
Harsh, awful light.
Did you use... There used to be a really popular online basic Photoshop.
I know what you're talking about, but no, I actually...
We used it.
I used Photoshop Elements.
Okay.
And I just...
So you started more legit than we did.
Maybe.
This thing we used like 8 or 9 years ago. And for whatever it was amazing. There was a free version that worked like really awesome. And then you could upgrade to the next thing, I think, and do like raw.
Is it like that PicMonkey thing? No.
Maybe. I can't remember. Whatever it was, until we found out about Lightroom, we were pretty ticked off.
I think everybody has that moment where they look back at their work and they're like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you started photography 6 years ago.
Yes.
But then when did the actual business start?
So that started at 6 years, and I think... maybe 1 year into taking pictures for free and of my kids, I was like, I can make money doing this. Like, yep. I can buy diapers and we can have pizza every once in a while. And so, I mean, I was dirt cheap. I think at in the beginning, I was only charging whatever anybody wanted to pay me. So sometimes it was $20. Sometimes it was $50. And
was it ever like a gift card or I'll buy you dinner or
no,
something?
Okay. It was always cash.
Okay.
And they were very nice and grateful for it. And then I realized that a business requires way more than just a payment. So right. I realized I needed a business license and I needed to pay taxes. So I kind of took a break and practiced there. But the business really started when I moved to Virginia.
Okay.
So that was 4 years ago.
And what would you say was like the biggest noticeable difference when you moved to Virginia?
With my business?
Mm-hmm. Like, was it an increase in price, an increase in clients, all the above? Like
all the above. I feel like I gave away a session. I did like a summer promo. We were moving here, so I went on Facebook and I said, hey, I'm moving to Virginia. I would love to, you know, meet new people. So I gave away three sessions for the three packages that I'd offered. And three people won, and I did their three sessions. And from that moment on, it was like word of mouth. Those three people who won the session just told their friends and family about me. And it just,
wow.
Yeah, it really picked up.
So what do you, this is kind of a side thing, but like, what do you tell people who are like, never do anything for free? I mean, that's just not true.
No, it's not true. Every time I mentor somebody, they're always like, I keep doing these things for free. I'm getting kind of burnt out. And I always tell them, you have to hustle in
right.
the beginning.
Right.
You can't. There's no other way around it. If you want your name out there, you have to provide what you want to offer with exceptional customer service. And from there, the word of mouth is just going to be your best friend.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so tell me about some challenges early on.
Oh, there's so many. I'm one of those people that did not invest in mentoring or education in the beginning. So I learned everything through my own mistakes and failures.
Yep.
So there's a long list, but some of the biggest lessons I learned was to always protect yourself and your client
yep.
through contracts. They're going to be comfortable knowing that they're protected and you are going to rest easy knowing that you're protected. So once I got a contract in place, I felt more legit. Also preparing my clients. I feel like having that in place helped me not have so many headaches. So things like questionnaires, or that's something that I implemented. I feel like that really set me up for success because before that, I had quite a bit of interesting things happen where I wasn't ready for it.
Right.
So
there's, I don't know if you've heard this. I've heard this a lot, and especially with this area, but this is a pretty saturated market. And I think a lot of people around the country in like the top 30 or 40 cities would say it's a saturated market. And you hear that because people tend to say this, and I think it's like it's the haters, it's the group of haters that say this, but they're like, well, anybody, you know, any mom with a DSLR is all of a sudden a photographer. And that's not necessarily true, but like, what do you say to that crowd?
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that because for a long time, I dreaded telling people that I'm a photographer.
If just because there was like a stigma with it.
There really is, especially because I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a military wife. It's a common trend, and I just didn't feel legit. I didn't feel like it was an actual career, and so I shied away from that question.
Right.
Like, I'm a photographer, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to kind of set that aside, and it's become my job. Like, this is what I do to take care of my family. It's how I make a living. I kind of got sidetracked there, Josh, with my little rambling. What was your question again?
No, I was just, there's just been this whole thing about like, you know, anybody with a DSLR, any mom with a DSLR is all of a sudden a photographer.
Right. And I think I see where they're coming from in that because so many people have them. I mean,
but it doesn't make it not legitimate.
No, it doesn't make it not legitimate at all. And I feel like you have to, if you want to take your business to the next level, you have to put that aside and you need to confidently tell yourself, I am a photographer. Yeah. This is my job.
Now, I want to talk about the unique challenge that you have in your whole setup. And when I say your setup, I mean, I'm not talking about just your business, but I'm talking about with marriage and also your husband's career choice. Because I feel like this could speak to a lot of people. And I just want to say, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, right in the middle, if you're just joining us or whatever, we really try to make this podcast not industry specific. Susan and I are photographers and videographers, and so we happen to know a lot of other photographers and videographers. But at the end of the day, the stuff we talk about and the principles we're talking about apply to way more than just photography and videography. And so if you've checked out a little bit because we're talking to a photographer and you do something else, I want you to really, really zero in right here because this is where the information really, really gets helpful. So back to where we were, you guys, what does your husband do?
He is in the United States Air Force.
And what does that mean for you?
That means a whole lot. That means...
What does that mean as far as location?
Gosh, it means so much. I basically, when I decided to marry him, I decided to make lots of sacrifices.
Right.
I mean, he makes the greater sacrifice, obviously. But as a military spouse, you have to. Sorry, I'm getting emotional.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
There's things that you may have to give up. There's things that you may have to change. And business is one of them.
Yeah. One advantage Susan and I have is we started our business in 2010. We were in Greenville, South Carolina. We did that approximately 5 months there. Then we moved here and just opened up shop in Hampton Roads. And no one knew that we had been in business only 5 months.
Right.
People could have guessed 5 months or 2 years or any, like, but they didn't know, we didn't say.
Right.
And we just acted as if, like, this is what we do and here we go, right?
I think that's the best.
So, but we've been able to stay here. This is our book of business. Not the case with you guys.
Right.
You were in Texas.
Right.
Now you're in Hampton Roads.
Correct.
And you took, there was a break in between that, right? Then you go somewhere else for another.
Well, we started in Japan.
Okay.
And that's where we decided we wanted to start a family.
Okay.
We moved to Texas, had the babies. That's when I fell in love with photography.
Yep.
Started the whole gig. Then we moved to Hampton Roads. So this has been it, but we are currently about to go overseas, which brings a whole nother.
And have you been overseas? Besides Japan?
No. Well, when I was a child, my dad was Army, but not with my husband.
So as far as moving, how does that impact your business?
I feel like you said, you guys started for 5 months, moved, just open up shop. It was like shop. It was like a clean slate, and it was probably fun and served you well doing that.
It was. And we did some freebies too.
Yeah. You have to. So I feel like there's advantages to moving, definitely.
Right.
I mean, like I said, when I was in Texas, I was accepting donations, basically, whatever you want to pay me. But when I moved to Hampton Roads, I said, I'm going to start charging what I'm worth. So
right.
I looked at my cost of doing business. I put price tags on my sessions. I was in it to make a profit. And so on that side of the coin, it was definitely a blessing. I'm very grateful that we moved. I feel like I got a fresh start, new clientele, new pricing. And it just flew off from there.
Let's talk about the trend of your cost, or actually what your clients pay. When you started charging what you felt like you're worth. Like, did you book less because you got more expensive, or did you book more? Some people say, I raised my prices. I started booking more.
That's actually the case.
Okay.
I did not see a decrease. I feel like there is a psychological aspect to pricing, and I researched the heck out of it because I wanted to get somewhere with it.
Yeah.
I felt so passionate about it, but at some point it turns into work because it is. There's a lot of things that you have to upkeep in your business, and I realized that very quickly. And when I started charging more, I got more clients. I did lose a few, but it's part of it.
Sure. So I think every photographer wants to know about, like, okay, what's the magic now? How much do I charge? And it's not just photography.
Yeah.
It's anybody. Like, you take any kind of art, any type of skilled labor, anything. people want to know, well, where do I start? How much is it? What did you start? And we get in this game of like comparison. So what's the way? How do you know what to charge?
The way, I want to say, take your mind away from what everybody else is doing, but I do feel like there's a small point where you need to look at the community and the average price point so that you know better how to gauge yourself. Right. So for instance, when I moved here, I was accepting $30 or whatever it was in Texas. But when I moved here, I started charging $150 to $200.
And this was for what?
For
what product?
An hour session, 15 digital images.
Okay.
So that I started with that. But then I got an email from a local photographer and she said, hey, your work is beautiful. You really need to up your pricing.
Whoa.
And I said, wow.
That is bold.
Because at that point, it was bold, but I'm so grateful for it because when I moved here, I couldn't really find anybody's pricing online. I looked, I researched, not to copy anybody, but to just get a feeler, you know, because where I came from in small town Texas, like the price would have been different there than it would be here.
Right.
And so I didn't know. And when she did that, I was like, wow, I can charge more? And I did. I doubled it.
Whoa.
Overnight.
Wow. That is so freaking awesome.
I doubled it overnight. I was so scared, but I said, if I can book 5 more sessions at this new price, I'm keeping it. And I have never looked back.
That is so crazy. And you've probably gone up since then, I would imagine.
Actually, no, I found, well, a little bit here and there, like there's some small tweaks, but I found my sweet spot, something that I'm comfortable with. I'm making money off of it. I mean, to go back to your question, if someone asks you, where should I start? You really need to look at your cost of doing business.
Right.
Everybody's is different. What you may use to deliver your photos may cost more than what I use to deliver mine. So you should be evaluating your business and seeing what you're spending and what you're
making. Some of those things to factor in, and you can kind of help me out here, but mm-hmm. So the cost of your gear.
Right.
Cost of your time, taxes, right. What are other things?
I would say your website hosting, how you're delivering images, how many hard drives you have to buy, how many memory cards you need to get, the mileage, how far are you willing to drive without charging a travel fee? And
then I guess there's software. Some people buy it straight up.
Yeah, you pay monthly.
Or I was going to say, a lot of people are subscription-based.
Yeah, I'm subscription-based. I pay $9.99 a month for Adobe, Lightroom, and Photoshop. I mean, that's a monthly charge.
There's small little things that kind of get you like, I'll give you a good thing for this podcast,
right.
Which is free, by the way. Like, so it's really, at this point, not
I was
a money-making.
Money. You're not paying me?
Sorry.
Just kidding.
we lied about that. No, I'm just kidding. But so we have the... As far as our website, I mean, we have the hosting for the podcast, which just hosts the media, okay? And then we have the hosting, like, for the website. Those are two different things. We can't host those on the same platform because of some kind of weird bandwidth issue or just not, wouldn't be able to be accessible as quickly or something. Anyways.
That's not fair.
Yeah, so that you have to do those two things. And then you've got WordPress, which WordPress in and of itself is free. But then there's a theme that you have to buy. Unless you're a brilliant website designer, you want to pay $2,000, which we didn't want to. You know, so, and then if you want to upgrade the theme,
right,
you got to pay
money.
Yeah. And it's nickel and dime on everything, subscriptions out the wazoo. So there's
really
a lot that's involved.
Keep track of it. You have to. I get caught up in that too. Like, oh, I definitely need this. I definitely need that.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the year when I'm preparing for taxes and I look at my expenses, I'm like, whoa,
right.
Buddy,
and
did I really need that?
So there's everything we just said and then neither of us have mentioned time or talent.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing.
So true.
That's what makes it worth it. And that's what makes it fun is when you get paid as an artist for your time and talent.
Right.
Now, I know in this time... I mean, it sounds like things have been like mucho successful and it's just been kind of an easy road. I know that's not reality. I think we're probably getting the highlight reel a little bit, but tell me about some failures that you've had, if you don't mind.
No, you know, I thought about this one. This is a big one, Josh.
Okay.
I thought about it. You know, I was like, I'm not going to talk about this because it's a big one. I'm not very proud of it.
Okay.
It was very early on in my business. So you're right. Highlight reel. Things have not always been easy. And here's a big one.
Okay.
My very first wedding in Virginia, it was a small wedding, 15 people, not that many people. My husband had just deployed. I had to drop my kids off at their grandma's house, so I was frazzled from that aspect of things. I had to drive 4 hours to the location, which was on the top of a mountain. So I drop the kids off. I make my drive. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I get to the top of the mountain and I'm like, you know what? The wedding is tomorrow. I'm going to be an overachiever and I'm going to take pictures of all the scenery right here, right now. So I don't even have to worry about it tomorrow. I can just focus on my couple. It's going to be a great day. Well, I reach into my bag, Josh, and I pull out my camera and I heard a pop. And my 70 to 200 lens had snapped off of my new full frame camera and broke. Here's where I learned a lesson.
Holy cow. You're telling me the lens was still attached to the mount and the mount broke off the camera.
Yes. So there's multiple lessons in this story. Never travel with your gear attached. Always take the lens off of the body. I was trying to do the right thing before I left the house. I put the lens on the body just to make sure everything was working properly, like make sure I had my memory card.
Try to save time.
Right. And I set it in my bag attached. While I pulled it out of my bag attached, and that 70 to 200, I'm sure you know, is heavy. It is a beast.
Right. It's probably maybe heavier than the camera.
Totally heavier than the camera. It cost more than the camera that I had at the time, too. I mean, it broke the camera. So here I am, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have a backup camera. I can see the fear in your eyes right now.
Oh my gosh.
If you guys could see the look in his eyes. So I didn't have a backup body. And what am I going to do? I'm at the top of a mountain, no cell phone service. I'm hyperventilating, crying. I drive to the bottom of the mountain, Google the nearest Best Buy, which is 2.5 hours away. Call Best Buy and say, please tell me you have a full frame Nikon camera for purchase. And he said, no.
Oh.
And I said, listen, I am in a very awful state of mind right now. I need you to physically go back and look on the shelf. Because I think he just like done the, you know, the computer.
Right.
Inventory, excuse me. So he says, okay, I will call you right back. So I gave him my phone number and I sat there and cried some more. Couldn't call my husband because he's in another country. And he called me back and he said, it's your lucky day. I have a full frame Nikon camera. And I drove 2.5 hours, bought it, drove back up that mountain, bought a bottle of wine, and sat in my cabin room and prepared for the next day.
Wow.
I know, that was a lot. You weren't expecting that, were you?
So I'm just trying to imagine this, like, could you look at the camera and see like where it broke off the body? Like it literally just ripped off?
The silver ring where you mount was completely torn off. Completely. And the lens, the beauty of it all, the lens was fine. And I had backup lenses. So I should let everybody know that I had intention to bring a backup body.
Right.
But in the process of getting my kids ready to stay at grandma's for the weekend and all that stuff, I forgot to take my backup body. So lesson, everybody. Always have
so
a backup
freaking
camera.
Crazy.
Yes, I know.
What body was it?
At that time, the D600 had just come out, and I bought that. It was my big girl camera. I went from a crop sensor to a D600. I was so stoked about it.
Yep.
So it was a pretty brand new camera.
Yeah.
For me too. So Best Buy had the next one, the D610. So I upgraded essentially. It all worked out, but I've learned lessons along the way, and that
I have
a big
so
one.
Many nerdy tech questions that would bore 90% of our listeners, so I'm not going to go into that. I will ask you when we're done, though.
Yeah.
That's so stinking crazy.
I know.
So that's a pretty big one.
It's a big one.
But you know what? It was the next day.
Right.
The wedding was, see, there was that. If it would have been the same day.
But there's so many what ifs. Like I played in my head, what if I had come in the morning of? What would I have said to my bride? Hey, sorry, you paid me all this money to be here on your special day, but don't have a camera. Anybody got a cell phone? Like, you cannot do that. You can't do it. You can't mess around with
weddings. That's potentially career ending.
Honestly, yes.
For that business name.
Yes!
Which was your name.
Which is why I was scared to talk about this, but that was 4 years ago, and I've grown since then, and I've learned lessons. And I tell every single person I mentor that story.
Yeah.
They need equipment insurance, and they need a backup body.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've got one. I'll share one.
Oh.
And this has only happened one time. And
lies. Just kidding.
So shooting a wedding at a really nice venue locally. The people book this venue who have lots of money. Or they're maybe not have lots of money, but they're spending a lot of money on the wedding. And I'm on a long range lens also, which I don't know if that played into it, but bride is coming down the aisle.
Okay? Oh, you're making me nervous.
It's like 100 degrees outside. And camera just turns off. Not turns off, because like the power was on, but it just freezes. It stops. That, now I don't know about for you, but that for me, that's in a film, that's kind of like one of my like money shots. Like that has to be there. It's expected. So the camera just stops. Okay. I have other cameras going, but they're all on super unflattering or unusable angles. A lot of times I'll get like a good angle on the groom or not even, that's a bad example. I'll get a good angle of like the ceremony, like a wide, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's usable for something, but it's not then because everybody's standing up.
Right.
And you can't see her and you can't see the groom. Like this is just something I would use later. So it just quits.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I pulled the battery out. And when I pulled the battery out, it didn't have time to like finalize that file. So anything I did have of her coming down was lost. Yeah, so I had no shot of the bride coming down the aisle.
My heart is broken for you.
So I continue to film. I pulled the battery out. And the thing that I kind of guessed at the time was maybe my camera got hot. I wasn't really sure. To this day, I don't know what happened. But I pulled the battery out, tried to cool it down, put it back in, and I continued filming the ceremony and got really everything I needed but that shot. So I thought about, at the end, like, what am I going to do? And even though I can honestly say I wasn't tempted to do this, there was this thought in my mind. It's like devil on the shoulder thought. But like, oh, you know, 2 months from now, you can be like, I don't know what happened to that one shot. But that's crazy. That's lying. Like, I would never do that. But like, it's easy when you get in those situations to allow those crazy, outlandish, like completely uncharacteristic of yourself thoughts creep in, because it's like, seems like the easy thing to do at the time. I did not do that. Here's what I did. As soon as the wedding was over, the second I went to the bride and groom, I was like, hey guys, I'm really sorry. There's nothing I can do about this, but the shot of you coming down the aisle, my camera shut off. There's nothing I can use. I'm terribly sorry. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm really, really sorry. All your guests are still here. Let's redo this shot.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
Quick on your toes, Fowler.
Because here's the thing. In that moment, was she a little ticked? Absolutely. And she had every right to be. But what we got was as good of a replacement as you can ever get. And she has something.
Yes. That's all that matters.
And I think like 10 or 15 years down the road, she'll be like, ah, that wasn't even me. That wasn't even like the real one.
Right.
We had to fake that.
It's a story.
But no one will ever know.
Right.
But I felt terrible. I felt terrible.
Of course. It's never fun making a mistake.
So then I had to go and I had to read the Nikon manual. And there was two things I think that I did. Like, you're really actually not supposed to operate in over 100 degrees, which I don't know what I would have done. Like,
right.
It's 100. I can't be like, oh, it's 100 degrees. Can we wait for it to cool down? Like, I would have had to do something. But I could use like a black umbrella or just maybe a piece of cloth or something to, you know, mitigate that a little bit. And I was using an off-brand battery. As a backup.
Oh my goodness. So see, in that, you took your failure, and now, you know, I bet every 100 degree wedding day, you're like, oh, you got to keep this bad boy cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And I'll never use an off-brand battery on 100 degrees.
So bad. And yeah, apparently that's a bad thing to do. I want to be like, B&H, why do you sell that? If it's a bad thing, if it's like known to be a bad thing, why do you sell these crap batteries?
We need to write them.
We don't know. We don't know for sure that's what it was.
But I thank you for sharing that with me. Because after I said all that, I thought, wow, that was heavy, Christina.
And I think too, like, if we're going to be really honest and really transparent, there's little things, you could almost call them little failures, that go wrong almost on every shoot.
Right.
Okay, so for video, we have... we have hundreds of things. We have our bodies, we have our lenses, and then we've got all our support gear. You know, we've got our tripods and our sliders and our modifiers and our mics and our aux cables, and we have spacers to like make screws bigger.
That is so crazy, my eyes.
All this stuff. And so, and we have backups. And sometimes, despite all those things, one little thing will go wrong, and we have to change the course of direction. We have no choice. We're like, okay, that's not going to work. We're going to do this.
You always have to be ready to just roll.
I think it's just about, you know, how you respond.
Right.
Honestly.
I think that's a big thing for sure.
So what are some things that you've implemented in your business to really set yourself up for success?
Oh, lots of different things I've learned along the way. I mean, you fail in one aspect and you have to come up with a solution.
Right.
I feel like in anywhere in my life, I try and look at something and say, how can I do better? What can I do differently? And I feel like that's really helped me grow in my business. I think it's really easy when you have a problem arise with a client or a wedding for you to just be like, oh, get so frustrated. And it's easy to take it out on the other party too.
Right.
You know, if a client requests something from you, you're like, oh my goodness, like you're already in over your head. You're in the weeds with editing. Like, why do they want this when I've given them all of that? You have to really take a moment to self-reflect and look at your business and what you are doing. Anytime something comes up, I look at it and say, what could I have done differently to prevent this? So, for instance, if I show up to a session and a client shows up and we're all ready to roll and they're like, well, don't you have props? And I'm like, well, I don't really carry like a vintage couch. Like, in my car, I had no idea that you wanted props, you know?
Right.
So, it's so small stuff like that. I mean, that actually didn't happen. But
I was wondering, I was like, did this happen?
No. But that's kind of an exaggerated story. Right. So I think
you exaggerated for yourself, but that's probably happened.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, I read photography forums and I believe it. I will never, question the crazy that happens.
Yeah.
So with stuff like that, you always have to look at it and say, what could I have done differently? What could I have done differently to have prevented showing up to the session and this client expecting me to have a couch?
Right.
You know? So I started doing questionnaires, which have been huge, and not just with family sessions, but with weddings and engagement sessions. Here's a true one. This is a true story. I had an amazing engagement session. Awesome couple. Seriously, it was great. I loved every single picture. They loved all the pictures, but I had no clue that before our session, she'd already picked out her save the date template. So she needed a vertical image for this save the date template.
Okay.
But the picture that she loved the most, she wanted on that save the date, was horizontal. And I had no clue that she had already had this orientation selected. Otherwise, I would have known to give her both in her gallery. So she came back and was like, we love the pictures, but I've already picked out the save the date. And I mean, do you have this photo vertical? And I am a serial horizontal shooter. I mean, I throw in verticals, but horizontal all day, every day. And I had to let her know, you know, no, I don't have that. So you bet your butt I have in my questionnaire now, do you have a preferred orientation for your save the dates? Because I looked at that problem and I said, what can I do differently so that I never have to deal with this again? And in the family session questionnaire, it says, are you considering props for your session? And I mean, you just have to prepare yourself and set yourself up for success, set your clients up for success. I mean, questionnaires were huge. Contracts, that's a big one too.
Has that caused you to be proactive in other areas too?
Oh, absolutely. When I say that I look at things and ask, what could I have done better? It's hard. It sucks to be like, oh man, Christina, like you really dropped the ball there.
Right.
But the next 100 sessions are going to be boom diggity because I set myself up for success. So questionnaires, contracts, I've learned to put things in there that help myself and my client. There's like cell phone apps that help you with sunset time and location. Oh my gosh, there's this amazing app. You probably know about it. There's an app on your phone where you can type in the address And it will show you where the sun is at all times of the day, and you can actually see the grounds. So like you could type in a church. So say a wedding is like...
I don't know about this app.
Okay.
Say tell us what it is.
Say a wedding is like 3 hours away. There's no way I have enough time to drive out there the weekend before
right.
to look at where the sun is setting. The first time I'm going to see it is the wedding day.
Right.
And so this app allows you to look at where the sun is at all times of the day. So I'm going to know going into a wedding, hey...
What's the name of this app?
Let me find it. I'm sorry.
Wow. So you can just all times of the day.
All times of the day.
And you can, is it like a Google image?
Yes. So you can see the buildings. You can see the trees. So I'm setting myself up. I know that, so the bride's like, we really want pictures on the front steps of the church at 2 p.m. I can look at that app and be like, whoa, the sun is blazing on the steps of the church and everybody's going to be squinting. And I can be on my A game and write her and say, I love that idea. However, I wanted to let you know that the sun is going to be in your faces and I, you know, I don't want you guys to be squinting in your wedding photos. Maybe we could do those pictures on the other side of the building and then we can go to the front of the building later.
Wow.
So it's called Sun Seeker. And I paid, I think, $9.99 for it, but it is worth every penny.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is the craziest
thing.
Even
here, I can tell you where the sun is all times of the day here at your house. This is just
spot on.
Yeah. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then you can look at the map and you can actually see.
This explains so well why my sidewalk never gets thawed out ever. It's over there.
Oh.
And we have to scrape it. Like, it's like 80 degrees out and we still got ice. Like, it's crazy. He just never sees the sun. That's an exaggeration.
That's so funny.
That's awesome.
I know.
So you're like a systems and processes person.
Yeah. I like to find tools that help and assist me in every way to help me succeed. I mean, who wants to fail?
Right.
But you have to fail sometimes, obviously, to learn these lessons. And then you implement them into your business. And then from there, it's like you never have to deal with it again.
Okay, so I want to go back to one thing. I really want to camp out on the military aspect of what we were talking about, because they're truly, I mean, if you look at the numbers, there are, how many people are, how many people are in the military?
1%
of the population.
Yes. Isn't that insane? We are
so
very small.
So we have
percentage.
Millions, actually millions of people in the military.
Yes.
When it boils right down to it.
But in the grand scheme of things.
Wow.
Small percentage.
And I would say, of those, we have hundreds of thousands who have to move at least every 3 to 4 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some people don't have to move that often, but it's pretty unlikely.
So tell me about your success, or what you would tell other people. Like, what advice would you give them when it comes to picking everything up, moving somewhere completely new, and just starting over?
If I told you...
I mean, because you're honestly kind of an expert at it.
I'm becoming one. We've been pretty fortunate staying here for quite a while. Well, it's 4 years, but I'm learning very quickly. If I told you what I thought about it, it would be big, scary, hairy thoughts.
Let's do it.
Because it freaks me out.
Yeah.
I get very emotional about it. I shut down. I say all the worst negative things. But I'm going to tell you what my husband would say.
Okay.
Because he's the one that keeps me going.
Okay.
We will find a way. Oh, period.
That's good.
We will find a way. And everywhere you move is different. Every county has different laws. Every state has different laws. Now we're talking about moving to another country. That's a whole nother ball game. And it can be really intimidating. So intimidating that I just say, you know what? Forget what I've done the past 6 years. I'm done. Like, I it could be that easy for me because I just get so overwhelmed with all the negative thoughts.
Yeah.
And thinking about having to start over and thinking about what I have here and how it won't be the same. But if you want it bad enough, you find a way to make something happen.
Right. And would you say, like, obviously you're passionate about photography.
Right.
And Susan and I are passionate about videography and photography. But at the end of the day, it is just means to an end.
Right.
I think the thing we're most passionate about is that we get to control our income to a degree. We definitely get to control our time, and we see each other a lot more because of what we're able to do. And even though you can't control your husband's time or his career, you can control what you do. And that has a big influence on the time you guys get to spend together when he's not working.
Right.
Now, when I want you to be as specific as possible with this. If there's things you can't talk about because they're military related, that's totally fine. But talk to me about how things are going to change when you guys move overseas at the end of this year, because there's some really unique challenges I know about, and I want to hear kind of what you're doing and how other people can take that those same principles and they can run with that also.
All right. So I've really learned with our current upcoming move that you have to be flexible. I was told when we were originally supposed to move to Italy. And I was so excited, Josh. My mind went to all the beautiful places that I was going to be able to photograph. I imagined elopements and weddings.
Because it's
and
Italy.
Romance. Like, I was drooling thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I immediately went on Facebook, looked up the photography clubs in the area, and I was devastated when I found out that I could not legally have a business. Devastated. I cried. I was sick to my stomach. I was just, especially because it was something that everybody knew we were moving and they know that I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
So having everybody say, your pictures out there are going to be incredible and I can't wait to see all your sessions and weddings, and to secretly know that it was like done.
Yeah.
Was so hard.
And that's just because it's like a conflict of interest, or it breaks a rule.
It's a law. So it's the law between Italy and the United States basically says no United States citizen can have their own business. It basically takes away from the Italian economy. It makes sense, but it really sucks.
Wow.
You know? So of course my husband said, we will make it work. Period. We will find a way. You cannot give up that easily. So I spoke with my attorney and she basically told me that I could keep my business open here.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be the active member. So I basically am going to keep Christina Barnum Photography open here. So I'm not going to lay that to rest yet. But I really started this business because I found something that I love to do that I could make money off of. I mean, we had two babies. We needed diapers. We wanted to have fun every once in a while, and we needed the extra income. So I just turned that switch back on in my head and said, it doesn't have to be photography. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Of course, I want to do it, but I'm a creative person and I'm going to find a way. So I started vlogging. And it's been a slow process. I haven't done it as much as I'd like, but I'm getting used to having a camera during like daily activities. I'm learning how to like quickly edit video. Way, way amateur compared to what you do. I mean, I'm using iMovie.
That's sweet. Okay. I appreciate that. But iMovie's great. You'd be shocked what you can do in iMovie.
I'm so impressed with myself and how I've grown. And so my channel is slowly but surely growing, but I plan on changing it into something completely different when we move. I'm going to travel and we're going to vlog our travels, and I want to eventually make money on YouTube.
Yep.
I plan on doing how to tutorials on YouTube. So I decided to become an Amazon affiliate. So I basically get paid when someone uses my Amazon link.
And what's the major source of revenue generation with like vlogs and YouTube videos and stuff?
The ads.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be a slow process, but I'm just not going to give up. I'm not going to say, oh, well, Christina can't be creative anymore. I mean, I know I can do it for fun.
Yeah. But it's great to earn money.
Yes. And in your sleep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so do you Snapchat, don't you?
Yes. Well, I love the filters. Here's the secret. Everybody's like, what's your Snapchat name? Because I'm cuckoo. And I'm like, you don't want my Snapchat name because I don't use Snapchat. I only use the filters and then I put them on Facebook and Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
Cheater. Christina Barnum Photo.
Okay. We'll put that in our show notes. But okay. In case somebody wants to like double click out of it real fast.
Yeah. So I call my Instagram Business in the Front, Party in the Back. So if you want like... I'm like a mullet.
It's amazing.
If you want the good stuff, you have to go to my Insta stories.
Okay. That's where the good stuff is.
I mean, the good stuff's on the front too, obviously.
Sure.
Pretty pictures, but
yeah.
If you want, you know, weird, awkward, crazy Christina, you need to go to the Insta stories.
Okay, so the pictures are
the
that
business.
You see.
Yep.
Okay, and then the Insta
story. The party.
Yeah, I've watched some of them. They're hilarious.
Too bad we can't put a filter on here.
I don't. Oh, we totally can.
Shut up.
Yeah, we totally can.
Really?
Yeah, just keep talking for me.
Oh my goodness, this is really exciting.
Let's see.
You're about to make all my dreams come true. Yeah.
I don't know if I can, actually, no, I can't do it while we're recording.
That's okay.
Yeah, but.
Maybe my goodbye.
Yeah, we'll figure out something fun to do here in just a second. I got a couple more questions.
I got a couple more questions
before we get wrapped up. So you're a mom of twins.
Yes.
And your husband's job means that sometimes you don't have him home for super long periods of time. So how has your business doubled as a creative outlet for you?
Oh, gosh. Sanity. It gives me a way to step away from mom, parent life, and do what I love to do. It's not been easy. My husband's away right now for 12 months, which is the longest we've ever had to go. We're very fortunate he is home right now for a few weeks. But, I mean, when you really think about that, a few weeks out of 365 days is not that much. So my business is, I've had to learn how to just jive and like go with it. But it's been such a blessing. I mean, to have something that I'm so passionate about, to be able to step away from the home and do it and love it and just feel, I don't even have words for it. It's almost like this year that he's been gone, I've rediscovered why I started it in the first place.
Yeah.
It reminds me of being the mom of two newborns that felt lost and sad, you know?
Yeah.
And just needed something to do for herself. That's how I feel. It's like gotten me through.
Do you ever, I talked about this with Amanda the other day. Do you ever find yourself in the middle of a shoot and you're just having a blast? Like you're in the zone and you're like, man, I can't believe I'm paid to do this.
Oh, yes. I do that often, actually.
I feel like that's when you know that you're on.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I got a little bit of a cold. Like the times where, you know, I just look at the back of my camera and I'm like, I can't believe I'm getting this shot.
I just killed it.
I am Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Like I've really, and that's how I felt when I got my first camera that would shoot 24 frames a second. Because most film, when you go to the movies, that real cinematic look you see, it's 24 frames. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants 24 frames a second.
Yeah.
And when I first saw that on my camera, I was like, oh my gosh. I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
I love that.
The shots were terrible. If you saw my first wedding film, oh man.
I want to see it.
And it was okay, it was pretty bad. But she loved it and it was good for the time. Like,
See, that's the beauty in it. We look back and look at how we've grown, but at the time it served its purpose.
Yeah.
Like that was the best we could give and they hired us.
Yep.
And we have to be content and happy with that. But absolutely. Yeah, I have those feelings too. I just get super excited and I can't believe that this is like my job. Like,
yeah.
Holy crap. Like, I cannot believe that this is my job.
Yeah. Now, awesome. How do you, and this is just like a little kind of a thing I just thought of that I feel like would help a lot of people if they heard this. How do you do your session? Like, okay, so in the photography industry, the time that you want to be doing a session, that's like 4 to 6 o'clock, give or take. You know, that changes throughout the year, but 4 to 6 o'clock, maybe 7 is like the golden hour when you want to be getting stuff, okay?
Right.
When you're with a couple who needs to be able to do that on a weeknight, school's going, how do you work that out with your kids?
So I have a very large whiteboard that's gotten me through this current separation with my husband, and it's by month, and I basically write who's watching the kids, and it changes, you know? It varies. We're very fortunate to be close to family at this base.
Oh, that's cool.
So I do have some family help. But you know what? I will say that the military community is like no other. I could drop my kids off at my neighbor's house, no questions asked. She wouldn't even ask me. And if I just need to go, and I could go. And she could do the same at my house. Like, we know that we're each other's support. Her husband's gone all the time. I help her when she's in a pinch. She helps me when I'm in a pinch. And I have several really amazing friends that do that. And then, of course, I pay people to watch them as well. But I'm just saying, finding like the community
and that support
and
system.
The support. I mean, it really does take a village.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Christina, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so incredible. I know a lot of people are going to hear this and gain a lot.
Thank you.
You know, from being able to learn from your experience. I just think there's so many. I want you to do me a favor. If you're listening to this, you're in the military, your spouse is in the military, you know someone in the military that can listen to this. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what their side hustle is. I don't care if it's anything. I just want you to share this podcast because I really think your story can be so helpful.
I really appreciate that so much.
Well, you're welcome. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for not like scaring me off.
Of course. All right. Well, thanks so much.
There you have it. Christina Barnum. Wasn't that awesome?
It really was. I just love listening to her talk. And
could you tell she was nervous?
No. Like she goes for nervous. Everything.
And
here's yeah, the
other thing, and you can see this on Instagram, but she had a little liquid courage before we got started. It's never a bad thing to...
I think we should start out every podcast that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think we record it right here in the whiskey room, so we have...
We do.
We have...
People don't know that about us.
They don't.
They do now.
You know what? It sounds like this is recorded like in this amazing studio, and I think we really do well for what we have, but I wish people could see what we record in. It's hilarious.
I know. It's funny that when we were looking to buy a house, and this house, I looked at it a couple times online, but like all the rooms were like covered in wood paneling, and that just wasn't my thing. And turns out it was just one room covered
with
in
lots
wood
of
paneling.
Pictures.
Yeah, lots of pictures of one room, and I hated that room. And now we do the podcast in that room, and Josh loves it. It's his man cave. It's a great room for entertaining. We have a pool table.
It's a gentleman's cave. It's a gentleman's cave.
We have a pool table, which we really lucked out when we got. But the thing is, it's like a half podcast table, half laundry folding table. So we are just really living the glamorous life.
We play pool occasionally.
We do.
And we have a roaring fireplace.
That we don't use.
Yeah. One day.
But you know what? I love this room. We're going to call it the multi-purpose room in our home.
Oh, man. That's the poor room. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today on Full Time Hustle. We always have a blast. We'll talk to you soon. Full Time Hustle is a Fowler Studios production. It's produced and written by Josh and Susan Fowler with help from Joelle and Anklum. Our theme music is composed by Valdi Sebev and can be licensed among many other great song titles at soundstripe.com.